Thank you, Jesus. God, we give you praise and glory. We believe in you. You are the God of miracles. We thank you today that you've done it this past year and you'll do it next year. And we thank you, Father, for who you are and what you've done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen, amen. Amen. I got this message today called Let's Finish It Up and Move On. I'm ready to finish this year up and move on, aren't you? COVID was a bad year, but it was a bad year for different reasons. I mean, this past year was just all kind of crazy stuff and sickness and all kind of problems and all kind of things going on. Nobody begins a new year and at the beginning of 2022 and decided, you know, I'm probably going to quit sometime this year. Everybody says, you know what, I'm going to push through and I'm going to go to the end. Everybody finishes like that. You know, I didn't think about that this year. I mean, twice this year, the devil tried to take my life. I totaled my car, and that was a bad situation. And I thank God for my life there. And then a lot of y'all have been asking, so I'll tell you a really super quick, short view because I got it on my Facebook. Some of y'all haven't seen that. So I was on vacation in Disney World with my wife for our 28th anniversary. And on Tuesday, I caught bronchitis. And then Thursday, Jenny got bronchitis. Friday morning, we're supposed to leave. And I got up, and just from the left all the way to the right side of my belly was the absolute worst pain I've ever had in my life. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I was a dead sleep, and something popped like that right there really hard. And it woke me up, the most excruciating pain. And so I called a friend of mine that lived down there and said, you couldn't even take me to the ER. Well, actually, I said to the medic, and Gina said, no, Doug, you need to get to the ER. So I said, yes, ma'am. So we went to the ER. They did a CAT scan, and she came in and said, Doug, your whole gut, your whole digestive area is a hot mess. She said, you've got a torn colon, a perforated colon. And she said, I would put you in ICU right now, with the exception that your vitals are perfect for some reason. I don't understand why you don't have a fever. Your vitals are perfect, 126 or 128 over 75 or something like that. And she said, I don't understand this. She said, I want to put you in ICU, but they're not going to take you because your vitals are fine. And she said, but we're going to have to do emergency surgery tonight. She said, you're going to call me back here probably in the next couple hours, sometime in the middle of the night, with some excruciating pain that you're not going to be able to handle. And we're going to have to go to the operating room, and you're going to have to leave with a colostomy bag for 6 months. And she said, they said that when you have emergency surgery like that, there's a 30% chance you don't make it. And I said, well, I'm just trusting God. I'm just believing God. And then everything, you know, went on. And she came the next morning and says, I'm flabbergasted that you didn't call me last night. She goes, I just knew that you were going to call me and that you're going to have to have surgery. There was no doubt in my mind. And she says, but you're out of the emergency surgery, but you're still going to have surgery this week probably. So don't get too excited. And so I said, okay. And so they kept giving me the stuff, and my vitals kept staying the same the whole entire time. And a doctor from India came in, a beautiful young man, and he said, Jesus knows why you're here. And I was like, okay. I said, that's kind of cool. I said, I'm a pastor. He said, I know you are. And I was like, wow, okay, go ahead. And then shortly after that, another woman came in, and she was a doctor, and she said, I said, I'm just praying that God's going to just touch my body and heal me. And I got a prayer team going and everything. She said, well, God's going to raise you just like Jesus raised Lazarus out of the grave. He's going to raise you out of that bed. And I was like, okay, come on now. This was Advent Health Church. Advent Health Hospital was a Christian hospital, mostly. And, they have like scriptures all over to all of their computers and stuff. But anyway, it went on, and she would just every day, when she first came, just to touch, just touching my skin was put me at a 10. You know, the next day she touched my skin, it was like a 9, and it went down. And for the first 6 days, I couldn't have nothing in my mouth, not even a drop of water, not even ice chips or anything. For 6 straight days, all I had was saline. And she just says, I don't care if it can't go in your IV, you can't have it. And so then on the seventh day, she said, "Doug, I can start pushing your belly a little bit and everything." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "But on this side, I'm having a really bad pain on this side." Then she did another CAT scan. I found out that I had my appendix was flared up real bad too. So I had pain on top of pain. And she was like, "I don't even know how you live, and I don't know how you're handling this pain right now." I said, "Just keep giving me that Dilaudid. Just keep putting it in that vein. I'm gonna just keep giving it to me. I'll be fine after it's over. But right now, just keep giving it to me every 3 hours." And so it wasn't every 4 hours. I give it to him every 3 hours. So, but anyway, they kept on. She says, "We're just gonna keep course. I just feel like we just need to keep doing what we're doing. The Sosin and all the antibiotics are working. So let's just keep doing that." And so we kept doing that. And a couple days later, she says, "I'm going to put you on a liquid diet." And I said, "Okay." So I was on a liquid diet. The next day I was on a full liquid diet, which is like soups and stuff. The next day she said, "Okay, you can eat pretty much what you want now." I was like, "What? What in the world?" And she just pushed it on. She said, "You don't have no pain." I said, "No, ma'am." She goes, "That's a miracle." She said, "I've never seen this before." She says, "You had pain on top of pain. I've never seen the diverticulitis with the torn perforated colon and appendicitis. And now you got this." She says, "So you don't have to have surgery. It's closing up. Your colon is closing up and it's healing. There's no pain. That means all the inflammation is gone. We're gonna send you home with a midline." Amen. "We're gonna send you home in a midline. And on the midline, you have to take antibiotics every night at 5 o'clock." And so I had a midline right here, and then my nurse Gina took care of me. And learned all that, how to do all that stuff. And so she did really well. She's still sick today. She stayed as healthy as she could be while she was helping me. And now she's down for a little bit, but keep praying for her. So then after all that happened, the VA lady came in, case manager, and said, "Doug, you're gonna have to stay here through Christmas because I'm a bulldog. I don't give up." She says, "But they in Wilmington, it's Friday, Christmas Eve. You know, Christmas was on Monday. It's the holiday weekend. They're gone. I can't get them." And so I was like, "Well, we're going to keep praying. We're going to believe for a Christmas miracle. God's already performed a Christmas miracle in me not having to have surgery right now." And I said, "So I'm believing for another one." The next morning, the VA called me and said, "Hey, Doug, this is Cindy. I'm your primary care provider's nurse. Are you in? What's going on? You in the hospital?" And at that very moment, that caseworker walked through the door. You know, they walk through random times. At the very moment, she walked through that door. And I said, "Yes, Sam, let me tell you about it." And I said, "Here." And she said, "Give me your name, phone number, and address right now." And she gave her everything. And then so she got it all situations. So when I got home on Tuesday, that I would be able to have the antibiotics waiting for me. But they couldn't get it there on Saturday when I got home. And so she said, "Well, Doug, I got it set up for Tuesday after the VA comes back home. But I just they're not going to be able to get it on Saturday." She said, "So let's just pray for another miracle." And I said, "Okay." And she came back in later on that night. She said, "Hey, listen to this. The hospital has decided to pay for four of your antibiotic infusions to get you till the VA in Wilmington so you can go home for the weekend through the holidays." And so I was like, "Yes, praise God." So it was just, there's a whole lot of other little stuff in there in between. But God just showed me laying there one day. I was like, "God, well, this don't make sense. If I'm so bad, why am I?" And it's just like he just totally just showed me clearly that those perfect vitals was him and his perfect peace, his perfect healing, his perfectness in the middle of all the chaos that was ICU worthy. He said that in the middle of all the chaos, your vitals is showing that I'm in perfect peace and you're in perfect peace in me and it's all going to work out. And so it was just so wonderful. That's what I held on to every time. So every time they did my vitals, I said, "What is it? Oh, 130 over 75 or whatever. You know, what's my oxygen? What's my blood pressure and my finger, my pulse?" And it was always perfect. And so that just really, I just kept saying, "God, as long as that's perfect, I know you're in control." And it was. And he's going to continue to be in control. That she did say, "I do suggest that you have a resection later on and the appendicitis taken out. But I'm just believing that God closed it up. I'm believing he's just going to fix it and heal it. So I'm just going to keep believing and y'all believe with me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to share that a little bit. There's a lot more miracles in between there. But the biggest miracle is that like you said, I didn't realize it was that bad. I mean, because I was just like, "Wow." She said, "No, you could die, Doug. This is pretty bad." So the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so that is what Apostle Paul said. And we all want to do that. We all want to end up every year when he's beginning a year. That's what we want to end up being able to say, you know. And a lot of you, all of us here can say, hey, we might not have fought a good fight, but we're finishing the race. All right. But I want to be able to say I fought a good fight. I finished. I've kept the faith. But, you know, through this year, some of us might have finished the race, but we didn't fight a good fight and we didn't keep faith the whole time. So we want to change that. I get a picture when I see that scripture. I get a picture of a boxing match. Actually, I get a picture of Rocky II at the end where Apollo Creed and Rocky were both laying on the ground. They both fought their guts out. And they're just standing there waiting for one of them, counting to 10, somebody to stand up. You know, and Rocky stands up at the end in the victor. But I don't want to just at the last second stand up, because scripture says that I'm more than a conqueror. I don't just have to wait to the last second and then stand up. That's a winner. I want to be, when he's down, I want to be standing over him, the enemy. You know, and say, you know what, we got this. I want to be that fighter. I don't want it to happen by accident. I don't want it to be luck. I want it to be planned out by God's will in my life. You know, and I believe so many times we were defeated throughout the years because we're naive. You know, we make our goals and we visualize everything. We make our plans. We make our calendars. We write down our goals, write down everything we want to do. But one thing, when I was doing this, it's the first time I've ever really thought about it, honestly, personally. Do you know that when we make our plans, we just make our plans and goals as if nothing's ever going to happen but victory? When we make our plans and our goals and our plans for this whole year, we leave out, okay, there's going to be spiritual warfare. Okay, there's going to be troubles and trials and tribulations. When we make our plans and goals, we discount that. We act like, oh, this is going to be easy sailing to the very end. You know, and then we hit troubles and trials and tribulations. And we're like, well, crud, what in the world? What's going on? You should have known that. When you make plans, you need to go ahead and say, this is going to be tough. But I will conquer. I will keep the faith. I will not give up, and I will make it. Amen? You know, and so we got to know there's a real spiritual warfare going on, and whatever you plan and whatever you're doing, you got to know that there is going to be warfare. This coming up year, know right now, whatever your plans are, it's not just going to happen just because you think it is. There's going to be warfare that's going to happen, and you got to prepare. You got to have on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, ready to fight the enemy. You know, weapons will form. It says, no weapon formed against you which shall prosper. He didn't say no weapon will prosper. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper, which means they will form. You will have weapons and that will be formed against you, but they will not prosper. And that's why we get blindsided, because we don't think that, okay, we're just going to be fine. God's going to work it all out for my good. I'm just going to just do my thing and he's going to figure it out. And that's just not how it works. Us and God as a team. You know, he's our leader. We follow him, but we got to do things. We have to serve. We have to work. We have to pray. We have to read. We have to do all these things like that as well. And we just can't get blindsided. Oh, well, I didn't expect that to happen. Why not? Jesus says, in this world, you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's two realities that for us to finish well, we got to understand that because of pride, we must daily die to ourselves. Because pride causes us to think that it's automatic. Pride causes us to think that I'm just going to be okay. Pride, you know, hey, I got pride. I got God. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and it's just going to be all right. You know, but it's just not automatic like that. There is warfare. There's struggles. There's trials. You know, pride will cause you to exaggerate your ability and underestimate Satan's fiery darts. And when you underestimate, how many times have you seen a fight on television or a football game where they underestimated their opponent and their opponent won? Right? Oh, man, they're Owens, whatever. They're the Panthers. They're going to lose. You know? Yeah, I'm sorry. The Cowboys is winning. So, but the thing is that you know, same way with enemy. When you say, oh, well, he's the enemy, he's defeated, just no big deal, and you drop your guard, man, he's going to punch you right between the eyes. You know, and that's not God's fault. That's our fault. So when pride cometh, Proverbs 11 and 12, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You will be shamed when you have pride. Because another scripture in Proverbs says, that pride cometh before destruction, right? So reality two is that Christians that are more known and respected than you and I have not finished well. There's been bigger, stronger, more anointed Christians that have not finished well because they dropped their guard and they allowed the enemy to come in and deceive them. Solomon warned Rehoboam about the moral dangers that he had. He said, man, you got to be careful with your morality. And then what happened with Solomon? He fell morally. So just because you tell somebody something does not mean that you're immune to it. I'm back there all the time doing the marriage counseling and social counseling and talking to people about different things and back there in my office. But if I don't heed and adhere to what I'm telling other people, I can fall to the same temptation that they did. So just because you tell somebody about it, don't make that feel like, well, I've shared with them and I've saved their marriage or I've helped that relationship or I've helped them with their finances. You know, if you're not careful, you yourself can do that and not finish well because we get prideful and think that I'm telling everybody else how to do it. I know how to do it. So let me give you seven commitments to guard your heart so you can finish strong. Because here's the deal. Today is the last day of 2000. Well, why are we talking about this today, Pastor? There's only one day left. Because listen, today is offense, tomorrow's defense. Okay? Once 2024 begins, you're on the defense already. So today, 2023, let's go ahead and make a plan now today and say, I know I'm going to fight. I know it's going to be a struggle, but I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm not going to give up. When I want to give up, I'm not. I'm going to continue on. I'm going to do all these things. And if you make that plan today, then when it comes, just like when I was a youth pastor, I would tell teenagers, when you first date somebody, you need to set ground rules that this is what's going to happen. We're only going to hold hands, you know, or whatever it may be, or hug. I said, because what happens is if you don't set boundaries, you will cross them. So when you set boundaries ahead of time, hey, when I get afraid, I will not fear. When I go through struggles and tribulations, I will increase my prayer. I will increase fasting. I will increase my reading my word, whatever it is. Make a plan now of offense now so when it happens, you don't have to play defense. You're just still playing offense, okay? I think that's very, very, very important. So spend number one, and this is a cliche, but man, until somebody gets it, it's just not going to help you. Increase time in God's words. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth. I don't have a magical equation. Whenever I was a youth pastor, I would tell teenagers starting off, just do, I called it 10, do 10 and 10. 10 minutes of reading the Bible and 10 minutes of prayer. Now y'all are adults. Y'all probably can handle more of that. If you're a young Christian, you still might want to try that. Maybe yours is 20-20, 30-30. But try something. But if you're gonna battle and really win battles in this life, and you're gonna be an overcomer this year, more than overcomer, you have to read the Word of God. If not, you're all on your own. This is where you gain your strength from. This is where you learn. This is the instruction manual. This is what's gonna help you. And you have to make it a priority that I will read my Word. Okay. And number two, make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Satan is always looking for an opportunity to defeat you. Okay. So how do you make no provisions for the flesh? Okay. Be careful and avoid places, media, and people that would be a temptation to your flesh. If you know this place causes you to be tempted to drink or to do whatever, then stay away from that place. If this person causes you to gossip and talk bad and cuss and fuss and be negative, stay away from that person. You know, if this television show creates some kind of something in you that makes you angry or makes you kind of lustful or whatever, or the internet, if you know what I mean, throw it out the door. I mean, it'd be better for you to have an accountability partner, and they have little programs that I've had many people in my life. That would say they put me under an accountability partner, and it would show me if they went to any website that was not appropriate, I would get a text, and I would say, "What you looking at?" You know, and they have those. You know, you need accountability. But if it's a place, media, television show, a movie, a person, whatever that brings negativity out in you or causes you to please your flesh, a place that makes you want to do something, you know, whatever it is, stay away from those things. Number three, commitment three, keep your mind pure and your thought life pure. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Whenever you begin to feel greed, then you need to start giving. When you start feeling greedy, like I want to keep out, you need to realize, you know what, this is greed. I need to do the opposite of this, and I need to give. Okay? Anytime you start to feel angry, you know, then you got to be careful with that. And because anger, you know, anger happens, so you got to bring that under subjection and say, I will not be angry. I'm not going to allow the enemy to do that. Now, yeah, but I prayed for God to help me with that anger, and it hadn't happened yet. Okay, well, the way you overcome anger is to be angry and handle it the right way. God's just not going to pluck anger out your life. You have to do something to it, right? Envy. You know, if you're, don't envy other people's stuff. Be thankful for what you do have. Jealousy. Quit being jealous. Quit comparing yourself to everybody else and their life and their little highlight reel of what's going on in their life. You know, quit being negative and quit hanging around negative people. Just don't be around them. You know, and if you have to be around them, be around them. And when it starts getting negative, say, hey, man, I've enjoyed our time together, man. Listen, I'll talk to you later. You know, seriously. I mean, if you're your friend, then be around them or even warn them. Say, hey, let's not get negative, okay? Please, let's just keep this positive. I mean, if they get upset by that, then they're not your friend. You know, I've said that before. I say, hey, guys, let's keep this positive. You know, and if they want to continue on, I'm out. Okay, I'm not dealing with that. Critical mindsets, man. Critical people, just, it's always critical. It's always the opposite. It's always a pessimist. It's always, you know, don't you grab that stuff. Say, no, I'm not going to always think negative. I'm not always going to think the worst. I'm going to believe in the best in people and the best in things. Okay? And number four, commitment four, pray for humble spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We have to be humble. We have to be humble. Humble is not letting people walk over you. Humble is walking in a quiet confidence. That's humility. A quiet confidence. Now, you may say, well, I'm not prideful, but you're arrogant. You know, you may not be prideful, but you got arrogance. You got this little air that you're better than everybody else. You know, we can't. That's not humility. Humility is thinking of yourself, you know, thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking. How does it go? Thinking of yourself less. It's thinking. There's a little saying I used to say about that, but it's thinking of yourself less. There's one more. There's another quality here that we got to have, and that's cultivating godly relationships. Proverbs 27:17: Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his countenance of a friend. You need those. If you're married, you need to sharpen your iron with your spouse. If you're single, you need to find somebody else in your relationship, same sex at first. I'm talking about to sharpen yourselves. And that you can be there, and that it can sharpen one another. You can cultivate godly relationships. There's so many people in this room that would love to be your friend. There's so many people. We are a family. Families are friends, and we need to look. And I appreciate so many of y'all reaching across the aisle and really trying to get to know somebody else and to talk to somebody else and get to know people, invite people out to eat, and go into the small groups and stuff like that. Y'all are really growing, and it's really wonderful. You know, and not only are you need to cultivate that kind of relationship, you need to be that to somebody else. You need to be that encourager, that iron sharpening iron. You need to be the iron that sharpens somebody else as well. Okay? And then along the same line, but a little difference, is the commitment six, is increase accountability to a godly partner. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better than one because if you have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, the one who lifts up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone, which he falleth, for he has not another to help him. In addition to having good godly friendships, you need that accountability partner. You need that person that you can look at and say, Jason, now what are my blind spots, bro? What do you see in me that I don't see in myself? What do you see in me that others don't see in me? You can even ask your spouse that, but hold on when you do that. It's better to ask Jason than your spouse. But you need to ask your spouse because they're going to be truthful with you, right? But you need to. You need to find somebody. So what's my blind spots? What is it? You know, we pray that, Lord, search me, know my heart, try me, know my every thought. We talked about that before. But sometimes you need to have a friend and say, hey, man, You know, I need to be able to say, hey, Duncan, man, you shouldn't have said that like that the way you did. You know, you were a little rough a while ago when the way you said that, you know. You know, we need to be able to have that friendship where we can hold each other accountable and not just, okay, well, forget you then. You ain't my friend. I mean, no, man, that's why I'm trying to be your friend. You know, me and Philip Britt did that a lot of times, and we got mad at each other. We would call each other out, and we would get mad. I wouldn't talk to him for 2 days, and I was like, you're right, you're right. And I called him out, and he's like, man, shut up, man. I don't want to hear that mess. You know, it was fun, but it worked, and it happened. And, you know, sometimes you do get a little upset at first because the truth hurts. You know, and then you get to the place where you're like, okay, I understand. You know, and if you don't have that person, you know, hey, come to me. I'll tell you. I'll talk to you. I'll let you know. I'm not asking you, but you can ask me. Number 7, walk in the fear of the Lord. We found out several months ago that walking in the fear of the Lord is not in scaredness of the Lord, but in the fear of the Lord, as in like reverence, awe. Proverbs 8 and 13 even goes a little deeper than that. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth, or perverse mouth, I do hate. What he's saying here is to fear me is to love what I love and hate what I hate. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you hate what I hate, you love what I love, well, then you know what? If you hate evil and love people, then you are reverencing me, and you are walking in the fear of the Lord. And we need to walk in that every single day. We're so fickle. We're so soft. We walk in it Sunday, sometimes Monday and Tuesday, and then by Wednesday we're about done, and we're back to our old ways, or we kind of haven't been reading our Bible or praying, and then Saturday we think, okay, tomorrow's Sunday, you know. And we everywhere we go, every conversation, every decision that we make, how we conduct ourselves, and our speech, everything that we do should honor Christ. The whole week long. That's when you are really running the race well. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying that you're not sinning. I'm not saying that you don't mess up. I'm just saying that you are causing it in your mind, and you are thinking in your mind all week long that I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to be a good Christian. And you don't let your flesh take over and say, okay, well, I'll be okay on Sunday. We can't vacillate back and forth during the week. All of us who serve the Lord want to look back in 12 months from now and say, hey, I finished the race, and I believe this year I want us to do that. More significantly, as we enter eternity, we want to be able to echo Paul's statement that I fought a good fight through the whole life. We don't fight for personal honor. We fight for honor and glory for God. We don't fight for us. We fight for Him. So we need to make a decision today, because tomorrow is defense. We want to always stay on the offense. Living this Christian life is kind of like a marathon race. Thousands start, only a few finish, right? You know, in a marathon, it starts off as impressive. You have them, they're going, they start off from the very beginning of the race, and there's like 10 or 20 wide, 10 or 20 deep, and they're all going, right? And then you get to like mile 5, and then there's like 5 and 5 and 2, you know, and then you get to 10 mile, and there's like 1, and then 2, and then 1 and then 3 or something, you know, they get there and they're running, but they every one of those racers, every one of those races that start a marathon, not one of them think I'm not going to finish well. Every one of them think I'm going to finish well, but they get there and it doesn't work that way, because they hit this brick, this wall, to where their head starts hurting, their mouth starts getting dry. You know, it's a long race. They start getting cramps, this and that and the other. And when you hit that wall, you got to continue to fight to keep going. That's why they have people all along the way. Keep going. Here's some water. Take this water. Drink it. You got this. Cheering them on, right? You know, I want us to be different. I want this church, I want Kingdom Impact to be different. I don't want us to start as a pack and then a few finish. I want us all in this room and all online and all those that are associated with membership, I want us all, even if we have to slow down a little bit, I want us to run as a pack and end as a pack. I want to do the old military thing. I want us to say, you know what, leave no one behind. I don't want us to outrun another. I want us to, come on, you got it. You got to go, let's go, hey, somebody's dragging behind. Let's go back and get them. Let's call them. Where you been at? You got to be here. We want you here. We want to help you. You're struggling. You're down. You're out. You done this. You know, whatever. We need to help each other. You know, Hannah lost her dad. Now it's just her and Lily. That's all she has in her immediate family. She don't have that. She has us. You know, and so we need to help her. We need to pick her up. And thank God it worked out perfect. She's going to Disney this week, so she's able to go down there. Hope she don't get what I got, but she's going down there, and it's good for her and Lily to get away by themselves and make memories and just get their mind off of things. But when they come back, they need us. We just can't keep running and say, hey, hurry, you're lagging behind there. Come on, hurry up. You know, everybody else who is lost people, you know, in their lives. We need to continue. We don't, just because it's been 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, don't mean that they're not still struggling with stuff. We need to continue to do that. People are going through sickness. People who are depressed. When you see someone who is depressed and down, we're a team. We're a family. We're going to run this together. I do not want us to outrun each other. I'm not going to outrun you. I'm going to run with the pack. Okay? Amen. You know, because when we become born again, we all start out with the same equipment. We're all convicted of sin. We all believe in God's grace. We all get saved. We're all forgiven by the same sacrifice on the cross. You know, so what makes a difference? Well, some fall by the wayside. Well, why? We all start off with the same thing. We all have the same armor. Well, it's determination and long suffering is really what it is. There's two questions that's going to tell us how what that is. Is first off, it's going to what determines that is how well you train. Number two is how well did you persevere. Those are the two things that's going to determine in 2024 if you finish well or train well. 1 Timothy 4, 7b through 8 says, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline, working out and getting your body in shape and all that, is only a little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things since it holds promise for the present life and the one to come. Keeping our body in shape is good, but that's just the present life. But keeping our godliness, our spiritual life intact and in shape is going to help us in the future as well. Training means that I'll work diligently and I develop certain habits. What kind of habits? I'm going to give you some habits that you need to decide today. This is going to be some habits that I will take in tomorrow. Number one, I will read God's word at least five days a week. And however time that is, that's up to you. But I will seek to apply God's word to my life and the precepts of my daily life and the decisions. And I will make decisions based upon God's word. And you will say, and hey, some of y'all can say, I'm gonna go all seven. That's fine. I'm just trying to give you a little slack because I know things get busy. But you need to read your word. I cannot tell you enough that if you're gonna be a Christian and you're gonna make it, you have to read God's word. If you find NLT, find a version that is happy for you, that you can read, that you understand. You don't have to read the these and thous, but you have to read God's word. Number two, I will pray daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I will pray that every single day you need to pray. I'm not talking about now lay me down and sleep and pray my Lord a soul to keep. I'm talking about pray to God and talk to Him. Thank Him. Worship Him. Spend time with Him. But I'm so busy. If you ain't got time for God, then why are you even serving Him? If you ain't got time to spend a few minutes because everything else, whatever else, if it's a ball game, if it's something else you want to do, it's vacation, if you get sick, all of a sudden you're going to miss work, you know, whatever it is, you make time for what you want to. I laid up in a hospital for 9 days and I had all kinds of stuff to do, but you know what? I didn't care about it because I had something more important. Well, you know what's more important is the Word of God and praying. And it doesn't take all day long, 8 days. Just take some time every day and read and every day and pray. If you want to make it, you want to be a Christian, you want to go to heaven, you want to finish strong this year, then you got to pick up the Word of God and begin reading more and praying more. Next, number three, I will attend church and worship services in small groups faithfully. Hebrews 10:25. We need to come to church. Man, the church is growing. We're doing that. There's a lot of people who have not come back. We need to. When people are out, we need to call them. We need to ask them, hey, we miss you. We love you. If you know somebody sick, call them. Talk to them. I know a lot of y'all ask me and ask a lot of other people. But I've had people in this church that have said, nobody's called me. You know, I'm like, but everybody's asked me and I've told them how you were. You know, but they're like, I didn't know that. Nobody called me. So when somebody's sick, please try to call them. When you miss somebody, try to call them. Ask for their number. Call me and we'll try to get you some numbers, what have you. Number four, I will seek to discover how God has gifted me and used those gifts to support the body of Christ. You know, hey, what can I do? How can I serve? We need more ushers. You know, we need more greeters. We need somebody else to be in the green room. We're making some changes in there in January. And we need some help. And we need more people to do. We need fix-it people that can just fix stuff here around inside the church. And we need everything. We need people to help with finances, counting the money. And we just whatever you can think of. And if you can say, hey, here's my gifts. Here's what it is. I want to be used of God. We need you. Don't sit here in this room and say, well, I don't know if, you know, I don't know what I can do, you know, because if you want to be used, there is a place for you. Amen. I will be faithful in tithing and giving. Hey, at the end of the year, we came through. We were behind. And at the end of the year, we got some special gifts and God got us and we were able to do the budget and take care and all the money that we spent out, we were able to take in. But if everybody, do you know, like the national average of people who give tithes is like 8% or 4%. I think it's 4%, something like that. It's a crazy number, really low, of how many people take tithes and how much they pay tithes. But the thing is that I don't want us to wait till December every year for God to perform a miracle in our finances. I want us to be able to give and love and serve every single week and pay your tithes and give. And a matter of fact, real soon, what we might do to try to help that is start a partner fund that you're saying, hey, I'll pay my tithes, but every month I'm going to give this much in a partner fund above that to help. So because we want to get out of this place. And if we're waiting around to December every year to meet all the needs of all the bills, we ain't going nowhere, right? So we want to continue to do that. So please pray about paying your tithes if you're not, and be faithful in that. Number six, I will be humble. I will humble myself periodically by prayer and fasting. It's super important. The Bible, the Word of God says, some things only come out by prayer and fasting. So that means sometimes you need to miss a meal. You ain't got to do a 21-day fast. You ain't got to do a 50-day fast. You ain't got to do a 7-day fast. Maybe just miss one meal every once in a while and take that time and give it to God and pray. Maybe miss a day. Maybe miss something special that you wanted to do and you're like, you know what, I'm going to give up this show tonight and spend time with God and pray and read and I'm going to fast that meal or that situation. Number seven, I diligently apply God's word and precepts to help me overcome my personal weaknesses and difficulties. In other words, I'm going to use God's word. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to love and I'm going to forgive. Number eight, Mike, if you come, I'll develop a habit of sharing my personal testimony and inviting people to come to Christ. Everybody in here should invite somebody to church each week. You should always invite people. We need to grow. We need to continue to grow so we can go to two services and then we can get out of here and do what God's called us to do. Because I really believe that soon we're gonna continue to grow here and God's gonna bless us with two services, and I believe then we're gonna go somewhere else and it's just gonna explode and God's just gonna do some great things. I really believe that. But we got to get there first. That takes people being faithful and giving and also faithful in inviting people to church. Most people, once they get in this building, they love it. But when they just drive by, it looks like a doctor's office. I don't know if I want to go there or not. All right? But when they come inside, they're like, oh, this is a church, you know? And then they start feeling the love. And then they hear our worship. And then they hear our heart. And then they're like, this is home, right? You know, as I was growing up, I did a lot of dropping out stuff. When I was in college, I went to college. I was going to go to a 4-year college and first off be a psychologist, and then I was going to be a Christian psychologist, and then I was going to do something else, and I was going to be an NBA player at some point. I went to college, and so about the last semester, I went through three semesters, and my last semester, I realized that I was going to go into the military. So I'm like, I don't need this. I'm going to military for 20 years, and I'm going to be retired 38 years old. So I kind of flounder around, went and played golf every day after that. And then I did my years and I came out and I was like, okay, military ain't for me. I'm going back to college. So I went back to college and then I did two or three semesters. And then my last semester, I got called to preach. I'm like, okay, forget this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go to preach. So I decided to go to ministry school and I did that. And you know, but I was back and forth, you know, and I just something else came up or something. It was a list and I didn't keep my habits. I didn't do what I needed to do. I would have loved to have kept on because I'd have better grades and it'd be a whole lot easier to finish the last little bit. But if I went back to school now, I'd have to go back just to pull up my grades that I messed up on so much, right? So we need to know that you got to have these habits. You got to start these habits and you can't keep quitting. Just because something comes up and tries to stop you, that does not mean that or something changes, something reverses, you got to stay confident and steadfast and perseverance. Perseverance denotes the act of steadfastness, patiently persisting to continue unswervingly to adhere to firmly as we grow in our Christian faith. And yes, that was not my words. That was a little bit more fluffy than I could say. But perseverance is probably the most difficult to develop because we just get so weak and down and we just want to give up and we want to quit. Just like that wall that I told you about the runners hit. When they hit that wall, man, you have to have the mental capacity to say, you know what, I'm going to keep doing this. And if you haven't already thought that when I hit that wall, I'm going to push through it, you will quit. Your body hurts, you got cramps, you're thirsty, your tongue's dry, it's swelling, and you're just like, I just can't do this. But when you push in there and you push through it, then you can continue on. I did the chirotherapy a while back, and the very first time I went like 3 minutes. I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm gone. You know. Then the next time, the man said, look, Doug, there's no question you can't do it. It's all mind over matter. So I put the headphones on, and I put Gonna Fly Now by Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. And I was like, I can do this. And I sat there 3 minutes. I was like, okay, time to go. I was like, nope, come on. Dun, dun, dun. I'm like, come on, Rocky, let's do this, man. And I decided in my mind I was not going to leave until the 5-minute mark. And I stood there, and now every time I went, I stay 5 minutes every time now. Because my mind, I've already decided in my mind, I'm not leaving at the 3-minute mark. I don't care how cold it gets. I don't care how numb it gets. It's really got some good stuff, and it helps you. But the thing is you got to decide, no matter how bad it gets this year, no matter what kind of hell comes against me, in 2024, good, bad, or ugly, I'm going to worship God. Because I believe this is going to be the best year ever, 2024, but I also believe it could be the hardest spiritually ever. And I don't know why I feel that way, but I just feel that prophetically that it's going to be the best year ever, but spiritually it's going to be the hardest for some people. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it together. Why are we going to make it? Because we're going to run together. We're not going to leave each other behind. We're going to run together. There's times in our Christian lives where we feel like we're hitting that wall, but you know what? You know, hitting a wall can look not look like just I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm hurting. It can also be like, God, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and you hadn't answered my prayer about this to change. And then we get, okay, well, I quit. I prayed and prayed. God, you're not going to do it. Maybe I prayed for years for you to change my spouse. Well, first off, you're praying the wrong prayer. God changed me. You say God changed me, and then your spouse somehow changes. But it really wasn't them changing. It's your perception of who they were changed. You know, so the Christian life, getting weary, past failures, general fears and fears of failures can discourage us and try to cause us not to achieve greatness. Just like with Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was on that wall, when they came out of him, they were sitting there and they were mocking him. They were laughing at him. They went up there and tried to, he was nailing, he had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other hand, trying to build that wall. They did everything they could to try to get him to quit, and he would not. He kept going. Commit your struggle to God and don't give up and don't give in to the enemy. Know that you'll have struggles and it's going to be okay, that we can do it together. Find somebody accountable. Find somebody to talk to. Ask God to carry you when you need to. He needs to. Don't give up. Train for godliness and persevere and be determined. Galatians 6:9. So let us not grow weary in well-doing for what is right. Or we will reap at the harvest time if we do not give up. The reaping will happen if we don't give up. So today's offense, decide today how 2024 is going to last and how it's going to end and how you're not going to quit, how you're going to read. And these ain't no little pansy little New Year's resolutions. I'm talking about commitments with God, covenants with God. God, this is changing. I'm ready to commit to you to really do. I'm ready to grow this thing. I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to be all I can be in you. And it's going to be hard. And I know I'm going to have warfare, but we're going to make it. And we're going to make it together. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor Doug, I've given up because I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I really enjoy what you said today, and I want to be a part of that, but I'm not a Christian, and I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I haven't persevered. I've given up. I've quit on God, turned my back on God, or maybe never even come to God. But today I want to start off 2024 with a fresh relationship with Jesus. And I want to ask him to come into my heart and forgive me for my sins. Anybody that want to make that decision today, just slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you. You're just saying, I want to receive Christ. I want to come to Christ. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Well, who would say, Pastor Doug, I'm going to finish well next year? You really jogged my mind and made me and challenged me in a way. And I want to accept your challenge, Pastor Doug. I want us to run together. I want to pray more, read more. I want to understand. I know warfare is coming. I'm going to be ready to fight. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up, no matter how bad it gets. We will all in this church finish this race together at the end of this year, 24, going into 25. Anybody with me will raise your hand and say you're ready to do that? Yes. Yes, amen. Almost everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. I thank you for life. I thank you for your healing touch. I thank you for your miracle in my life. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle of everybody in this room. God, they were a big deal to me. But going through what I went through, now they're a bigger deal to me. Because I know I got more to do. You're not done with me yet, as that song said. And Lord, as much as I increase my love for this congregation, and they're a bigger deal to me, they are still a bigger deal to you. And God, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. God, we're going to do this together. We're going to run this race together. We're going to be tighter than we ever have before. We're going to love one another. We're going to do small groups. We're going to do outreach. We're going to just do what we can to reach our community. Souls, souls, souls. We're going to invite people to church. We're going to grow, and we're going to move. And there's going to be an open heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you so much. Have a wonderful day. And I will see you next week, if not before. Hey, brother.
You're the man.